What's up, everybody? My name's Dustin, and this is the Sweet Science Class Podcast.
All right, how's it going out there, Sweet Science Class fans? Thank you for joining into episode number 4. Today, Sergio got caught up at work. He's just had kind of an emergency situation go on. So we're going to make today's episode a little shorter than normal. Felix and I are just going to chat it up about a couple topics, and then we're just going to get out of here. But starting next week, this is a new idea, plan we came up with the other day, and it will start on Monday. We're going to start recording one time a week, but making that 2 episodes a week. We got some good feedback from people that after an hour, hour and a half, I guess, attentions, you know, people don't want to always listen to podcasts that length. So we're going to shorten it down to an hour or less, more like 45-minute episodes, but do 2 a week. We'll drop one every Monday or Tuesday, and then drop the second one of that week Friday. And the Friday episode will include a new segment we're going to be doing, which is going to be a roundtable debate where we'll pick a different topic every week and let two of us battle it out with the others, you know, and figure out who's right, you know, see if they can come to an agreement. It'll be about, you know, a fighter, a fight coming up, something like that. So it's going to be fun. We're just going to try to change it up, spice it up. Sergio's story time will still be in the first episode of each week. So each episode will be a little different. We'll drop 2 on you, slightly shorter, just trying to keep everyone happy. So we got Felix already on the phone with us. How you doing today, Felix?
What's going on, Dustin?
Not much. We are going to go ahead and talk about the big topic, the only thing I've seen really anybody talk about for the last week, Alexander Usyk.
Yeah, fighter of the year, right?
Yeah, I definitely think he's fighter of the year. I think it's really tough to, I don't know who you could even put up against that as a possibility. I guess, no, I don't know who you could put up against.
No, he's had 3 impressive wins, 3 wins that, 2 against top 5 opponents undefeated. And then Tony Bellew, who, you know, just beat a, I guess you can say a top heavyweight, I don't know. But he's a big name. You know what? I actually had Bellew up on the cards when Usyk knocked him out.
I thought it was very feasible to have either fighter 4-3. I think at the end of 7, it was 4-3 either way, but very possible, yeah. I could see 4-3 Bellew. But at the beginning of the 8th round, you could just see it in Bellew's face. He was about done. He was pretty worn out.
Yeah, he seemed gassed. He seemed really gassed. And then, you know, getting hit in the face doesn't help stamina at all.
Yeah, I rewatched the fight the other day, and, you know, it did take Usyk a little bit to dial him up, figure him out, warm it all up. But starting around round 2 or 3, especially 3, every round Usyk landed at least 1, if not 2, really good lefts to the face. And you could see each one. Bellew's reaction got a little less confident each time.
Yeah, you can also tell, I just didn't seem like Bellew was in tip-top shape either. I don't know. From what I saw, I mean, I know he always kind of looks like that. He always has that kind of body type. But it just seemed like he got gassed like midway through a 12-round fight. You would think fighting somebody like a Usyk, you think maybe it was because he came from heavyweight and had to go back down in weight? Maybe that kind of affected him?
That honestly might have had to have been it, because personally, I thought he looked really good. And that, you know, that was the lowest weight he'd been in. And he made a joke at the weigh-in. He was like, fat boy's in shape this time. And I actually was like, wow, Bellew looks really good. So, yeah, around round 7, when I saw him gas, I thought that was pretty weird. I expected him to take it 12 and hope to gas Usyk out and hope to catch that. He had a decent plan. He kept, you know, kind of going back into the corner and kind of hiding that right hand and launching up the counter. And it was landing. It was hitting Usyk here and there.
No, I got a lot of respect for Bellew, man. He has no back down in him. He's trying to fight heavyweight. Usyk is pretty much going to be a heavyweight. And he might be a heavyweight to reckon with, too. Because I didn't really think, because people were like, oh, he can move up to heavyweight. And when I watched the fight, the second time, I can see it now. Because he has really wide shoulders. And his body, you know, he's not a slim cruiserweight. Like, I can see him fill up into a heavyweight.
Yeah, he's 6'3", and he does have a pretty broad frame, and he keeps making jokes about how he can just eat extra pasta. He'll just get to eat more, and maybe if he adds 10, 20 pounds, yeah, maybe he really can be a threat.
Reminds me a lot of, like, an Evander Holyfield, how he was a top cruiserweight and light heavy. Was he light heavy? He was light heavy, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, I remember, you know, he was a smaller heavyweight. But
yeah. He looked really small compared to Riddick Bowe, and he was in all three of those fights.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and let's see. He was probably about the same size, 6'3", around the if Usyk goes up, he'll probably be, like 220-ish, maybe?
I see him hitting 220, which is near what Wilder is. Wilder's 6'7".
So he'll be a smaller heavyweight, which I like guys that are in the 220, 230 ranges. I feel like they're athletic, yet they're still heavyweights. Once you go beyond that, they kind of become stiff, a little slow. Kind of like, I don't know, like an Anthony Joshua. Even though Anthony Joshua has great skills, but a little stiff, a little slow.
He is a little robotic. Yeah, that's why Muhammad Ali is my favorite of all time. I like the 220, 230 range when they're heavyweights, but they're moving like smaller guys to an extent.
Yeah, the athletes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Muhammad Ali, that clip that you wrote, I saw you post on our page the other day. I mean, even though I've seen Muhammad Ali fight a million times, I watched that and I'm like, dude, this is like a lightweight in a heavyweight's body.
It really
was.
What
the hell is it?
That is easily why he will always be my favorite. People can say it's cliche, you know, but it's just watching him was incredible. There's no heavyweight that can just move like a little lightweight like that.
Yeah. But no, I think Usyk, I mean, I really don't see, I mean, he's dominated that division. I don't see anything else left for him to do in that division.
No, there's absolutely nothing left in cruiserweight. He dominated that tournament. He unified the division in 15 fights. He then takes on Blue, which is another ex-good cruiserweight who hadn't lost in 5 years, I think a 10-fight streak, who had dipped his toe in the heavyweight and had two victories. Well, we won't discuss all that. They were victories. We'll leave it at that. And then he comes back down, and Usyk gets him. So, to my opinion, there's nothing left to do. You vacate, you move up, and you start slow.
Yeah, don't jump in there with the big dogs yet.
I don't think so. I would definitely start slow. Maybe someone in the lower top 20, top 25. Just see what fill it out.
Yeah, just
see what
happens. If your power carries over, just to see if you can hurt these guys, and if he can knock these guys out, then hey, you know, fight the like I call them, like the trilogy. That, well, there's like four guys on top that I feel like are above everyone else, and that's AJ, Wilder. I got to throw Ortiz, and you got to throw in Fury because of his name, and we've never seen him lose, and we don't know what to expect when he comes back, so he has to be in that mix too.
Then you got a lot of the other guys who would be more suitable for Usyk, which would be really fun fights, like Dillian White.
Yeah, that's
Joseph
what I was gonna
Parker.
Say. Dillian White.
Joseph Parker versus Usyk would be a really nice
fight.
That's
what I was going to say. Parker versus, that would be a good fight for him to come in and jump in, maybe like the second fight.
That'd be a good fight because Parker's not the most powerful. He'll actually box. He likes to box pretty clean. So does Usyk. Mm-hmm. That might be a nice little chess match.
Yeah, he has a great jab. He's a good boxer.
That'd be a really
Usyk's
nice fight.
A phenomenal boxer.
To me, I guess that makes sense. They're Lomachenko and Usyk are both trained by Lomachenko's father.
And you can tell.
To me, it's just a big version of Loma. They just move really nice. I like the way they both move around, and both of them are similar, and they don't have one punch power. They'll get knockouts, but it's from accumulation, which is something that borderline worries me with Usyk. We'll see when he gains the weight. Maybe he gets a little more power. And it's ironic to say because he did one punch flatten Blue, but that doesn't normally happen. He usually gets the late stoppages just because accumulation of punches. He's never been a one punch, big punch knockout guy. So that makes me curious in heavyweights. If if he doesn't carry any much power up, that would worry me. He would,
you know, and there's not too many big one punch knockout guys right now, if you think about it. I mean, how many are there out there that could legit knock out one guy with one punch?
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess it would be maybe just Wilder Joshua.
Yeah, I don't really see too many guys.
Dillian White brings the pressure.
I was
going
to say, Dillian White, yeah, but level
he's
of
not
competition.
A super big one-punch guy, but he brings a ton of pressure.
Yeah, he does. And maybe Ortiz, Ortiz is kind of 50-50.
We do
he's
see him
boxer,
clip
though.
People completely out, but a lot of those dudes don't have the greatest of records.
Yeah.
Usyk Ortiz would be phenomenal.
You know, that's a fight I could see. I could see that.
That'd be excellent. I don't think Usyk should jump into Anthony Joshua just yet.
He needs to leave Joshua and Wilder alone for a good year and a half, 2 years.
I was going to say maybe like 2 years. Like, get you four or five fights.
Yeah. Don't even think about that heavyweight title just yet.
No.
Get your feet wet in that division. See if you can actually, take. Because it's not just about, hurting a heavyweight. Can you take those punches, man? That's really the big thing. Are you going to be able to take those?
An idea I had, it probably won't happen because Pulev would never give away his number one title shot now to Joshua. But if the Usyk people could somehow convince him for maybe a lot of money to fight for that number one spot, I think Pulev would be a really good fight for Usyk because that's a vet, that's a name. His only loss was to Klitschko. But I could see Usyk beating him. But
yeah,
I don't know if
yeah.
Pulev would be crazy enough to gamble his title shot. Like, especially at this age, like, he may just want that money, get that Joshua fight, win or lose.
Yeah, he's fighter of the year. And can you think of a fighter that could challenge him for that? For the fighter of the year? Because I don't think it's close.
It's not close. The only, I try to go, I'm staying in the top, three of the pound for pound. Bud, Canelo, Loma, and all of them had, Canelo fought, what, once?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They're not active enough.
Triple G wins.
He's fought three times.
The Bud had, I think two good wins. But no. It's just really hard to top what Usyk did. He's fighter of the year for sure.
Yeah. Because Canelo, even though it was a big win, now if he would have fought Triple G twice this year, like let's say if
both fights would have happened in the same
year.
Yeah,
both fights would have happened this year and it was a draw. Then I could probably consider that. But, he didn't even win both of them. So
yeah, that draw would have made it, yeah. Yeah, it's really tough to stray away. I think Usyk right now is the man. And with that, I guess we'll move on to the other two men at the moment. The big, big topic. Hence on the big, big. Errol Spence versus Mikey Garcia. Pay-per-view is set March 16th. I'm pretty sure it's in Dallas Stadium.
Yeah, Cowboy Stadium, AT&T.
I'm tempted to go because I'm in Texas, but I don't know if I feel like paying that much money to see a massacre.
What do you think ticket prices will be like? I don't see them being too much, but travel and all that, you got to factor that in. But
man, I'm sure there's some cheap seats.
When it's a big stadium like that, they always have like those cheap tickets that you can probably go.
And they've got that massive, how big is that screen?
I know it stretches from the 30 to the 30.
My God.
Yeah, I think it's from the 30 to the 30. That's or is like, it 30, 25 to 20, something like that. It's
so
big
it's
as
like
hell.
50
that's
yards
all
wide. Okay, yeah, maybe, depending on how cheap. I don't know. I know people are excited for this fight. I'm not trying to rain
on your
parade.
The demographics is going to be badass, though, because you have a fighter who's a homeborn, homebred, Dallas, a Dallas boy. And then you have a Mexican-American fighter, which, Texas has a lot of Mexican-Americans, large Mexican fan base. That place is going to be crazy.
It really is. This is what they were kind of wanting with Spence. They were wanting to build him into the, the Cowboys Stadium fight, especially with his last win over Ocampo. He was, on the practice stadium, like the smaller version.
Yeah, he was in Frisco.
Yeah.
He was in Frisco. So, and he fought there, and they did the whole tour. Like, he was pretty much going to their practices, doing, they promoted it.
He was the man of the hour that whole weekend. They made him real nice. And
I think that as far as viewership and everything like that, it's going to be a hit. Now, the fight itself, that's a whole nother question. I don't see this being a good fight at all. At all. I think Spence's going to walk through him.
I do too. I keep almost trying to lie to myself and make the super fan come out in me and try to just convince myself that this is an okay fight or that Mikey has a chance. But weight classes exist for a reason. That always back into my brain.
For a reason, and this is why. I have Mikey Garcia, number 5 pound-for-pound fighter in the world.
Me too.
Errol Spence is not even in my top 10. He might crack top 10, but he's not even in the top 10. But I have him walking through the number 5 pound-for-pound fight in the world. Why? Because weight classes matter.
I agree with every bit of that. Because, yeah, you Mikey's know, number just, 5 for me. Spence might be in the low end of my 10.
What was it that you said that he fought Lipinus and said that he felt his power at 140?
Yes, Mikey Garcia has moved up, fought Sergey Lipinets at 140. Yes, he did win and looked really good doing it. But, yes, I watched an interview where Mikey told, it might have even been Chris Mannix. He told him that there was a moment in the fight where he hit Lipinets and it actually dropped Lipinets. But at the same time, Lipinets connected with a shot on him. And he said, about a second later, he realized, oh, I'm kind of wobbled. That shot kind of rocked me, but thankfully Lipinets went down, so he didn't really have to deal with that. So he said there was a few times in that fight where Lipinets buzzed him, and he felt that 140 power. And now he's moving up another weight class to 147 to a dude who really should be at 154, if we're just going to be real honest. Spence is a very big guy who will not be at 147 that much longer.
Yeah, he's going to be, like, he's going to work his way to, like, probably 160.
I could see him at 160.
Definitely. He has the power, he has the size, the frame, everything. Honestly, I think he's just going to wear Mikey out. It's going to be a boatload of body shots.
Body shots.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's a body snatcher.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Errol Spence is.
He's
number
really
one.
Good at the body
shots. I feel like his number one attribute is body punching.
Yep.
And he's finding a smaller guy like that. Dude, Mikey Garcia is going to be pissing blood.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be bad.
I'm rooting for, you know, and like me and you always say, Texas all day, we're rooting for Spence. But I do want to root for Mikey. You have to root for him in this situation. But just know, I got to look at this too realistically. I just don't think he has a chance at all. It was really bad in my head already, and when I saw that stare down on video the other day, I literally started laughing. Like, it broke me out into a hearty chuckle. I thought it was a joke. I thought it had already been tampered with and photoshopped, and then I realized, no, I'm watching a live video, and this looks hilarious.
I don't
how much
know.
The size difference
was it me, or did it look like Spence wanted to laugh? I don't know if I'm just tripping, or like, if you look at his face, it looked like he couldn't take it serious.
I kind of noticed that, and I was thinking about that too, dude. I was putting myself in Spence's head. He's got to feel he's got to feel silly.
Yeah,
How tough can you feel?
Yeah, because it's a lose-lose, man. He wins. Oh man, you just whooped a small guy. You whooped a lightweight. If he loses,
holy,
his career.
If he loses,
taking the drop.
It's a lose-lose. I really don't understand. I don't understand this fight at all.
Yeah, his managers dropped the ball, I feel they dropped the ball. Yeah, the money is there, but you got to think long term. And if he loses this fight, there's no more money to be made, man. You lose the Crawford fight, you lose a potential Thurman fight, a Porter fight, you know, Danny Garcia. There's so many potential fights that this guy could have that he could ruin if he ends up getting, like, knocked out by a lucky punch or just totally outboxed. You know, just what if Mikey just totally gives him a boxing lesson?
That's going to have to be what it is, because in my mind, there is just no chance on this planet that Mikey can knock Spence out. He didn't knock out Lipinets. He did drop him. And he didn't knock out, you know, Robert Easter.
Broner.
You know, yeah, Broner. I just don't think you're going to move up a couple weight classes and do really much to Spence. I bet Mikey comes into the weigh-in at like 144.
He
won't hit 147. I don't even know. I don't even think he'll hit 145.
This is bad. I don't like this at all. I really don't. But for Mikey, Mikey has nothing to lose. Mikey, all Mikey has to do is show up. If he gets whooped, they're going to be like, Mikey has big balls. Because I'm seeing that all over social media.
That's all everyone's
like,
saying.
Big balls that Mikey has. Well, if Mikey had big balls, he would have fought Lomachenko.
That's the soapbox I'm standing on. Yeah, sure, he's brave, I guess, for getting into this fight that's like me fighting Mike Tyson in his prime. It's brave, but it doesn't make sense. It doesn't mean he's going to win. Being brave and those big balls ain't going to help you that night of the fight. And now you're depriving the whole boxing world of the Lomachenko fight because he's not going to move down to 135 and fight Lomachenko.
It's almost, and I hate to say this because I love Mikey, but it almost seems like a duck move. Like, he's avoiding Lomachenko because he doesn't know if he can win that fight. So let me move up. Let me fight a guy that I know nobody thinks I can win. That way, hey, if I lose, people will say I have big balls. It's a moral victory if I even make it competitive. So it's a win-win for Mikey, I think. I mean, he has nothing to lose.
It is. I agree with all of that you said, but I also
agree.
He's
got brain cells. He can lose.
The brain cells. Yeah. And this could just shorten, if not end, his career, depending on how bad of a beating he takes.
Yeah.
I mean, in my opinion, Margarito, with the first fight, beat some of Cotto's success out of him.
Yeah, he did. He took about 2-3 years away from his career,
yes.
I think.
And I think he might have even won, you know, this might be just wishful fan thinking, but Cotto might have even won a couple of the fights he lost. I just feel like he really had something beaten out of him that night.
He did.
And never the same weight.
He wasn't, because, I mean, you can tell, like, in the Trout fight. And he fought Trout after Margarito, right?
Yep.
I don't want
to. Because he moved up to 154 at that point.
Yeah. So, see, that those fights like that, those are fights that Cotto should have won. But I think it was Bernard Hopkins that said losses, like, there's certain losses that kind of equal two losses.
Yeah.
And when he said that, he was talking about when Manny Pacquiao got knocked out by Marquez. And he said, you know, those are the kind of losses where you're not going to bounce back from that in one fight or two fights. That's a loss that lingers.
Yeah.
And that's what that loss was. And that's what's going to happen with Mike. If, God forbid, Mikey loses, it's going to linger into his other fights.
And I don't want people to think, like, I'm rooting for Mikey. I don't want him to get beat until his career is ruined.
I root for Mikey. You know, I'm a big Spence fan. I mean, that's been known. But if Mikey won, hey, I'll be the first one to congratulate and say, you know what? Mikey beat Errol Spence. There's an argument that he's now the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world.
If Mikey wins, man, he needs a parade through the whole world. He's like the greatest fighter.
Yeah.
But realistically,
it's the argument. I mean, even though Crawford and you know, Canelo, all these other guys probably have the more belts and things, but if Mikey can pull this off, he can be the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world.
Absolutely. This is an unbelievable win. Literally unbelievable, because I don't believe it can happen. And I think it will be very bad, very detrimental. And I do slightly see it as a duck, though, as much as I'm thinking Mikey's brave and I'm rooting for him. I do. That's what I've been putting a lot of thought into that Loma. And, like, why didn't you do that? Because Loma's about to beat Pedraza, let's just be honest. And at that point, if I'm correct, I believe they would have had two belts each.
And I'd probably be in the minority and choose Mikey to beat Lomachenko.
Me too. I've been saying that. I mean, I think we've discussed that multiple times. I really think Mikey has a chance to beat Loma. And that would have been a unification. They could have made that a pay-per-view for all four belts. The winner, arguably, top one, pound for pound, definitely top two.
Nah, they could have sold that.
Oh my God, that would have been the biggest fight to me. Like, amazing. And now we're never going to see it. We're not.
Well, because it would have been two of the top five guys, which we haven't had that except for Triple G Canelo. Other than that, we haven't had two of the top five guys.
And unification.
Yeah.
Sprinkled that on top. That's the fight. That's the fight I wanted.
Like, it seems like Robert Garcia doesn't even want. When you see those interviews with Robert Garcia, he doesn't even sound like he wants Mikey to take this fight.
No. Mikey's brother and dad have been very vocal. They do not like this fight. They don't like it. They don't know why Mikey wants to do it. They said if he takes it, which he clearly has done now, they will do everything in their power to prepare him the best they can to defeat Spence. But they hate this fight.
And the thing is Mikey's saying, well, Robert said that Mikey sees a flaw that he can exploit or a weakness that he can exploit. And it's like, okay, maybe he does have a flaw or a weakness that you can exploit, but can you exploit it for 12 rounds?
Seriously. I mean,
that's the whole thing.
What if Spence corrects that one thing in the first or second round? Then what?
Yeah.
You know,
and I can kind of see, I probably know what kind of flaws he's talking about. Spence is not that hard to hit.
No.
And maybe that's what he's talking about. But, I mean, does Mikey have anything that can hurt him? I mean.
And that's what I don't think he does. I don't.
Yeah. So exploiting his weaknesses, nah. You can, I mean, I always compare it to other sports because it's easier for me to do. It's like if you have a, how do I say? If you have like a strong running game. Or no, let's say if a team is weak at stopping the run, but you have a crappy running back, it doesn't matter. You know?
Right, right.
It's like, yeah, you might see something you can exploit, but you don't have the strength to exploit that. Like, you know what it is. Or like a defense, like, oh, you know what their schemes is, but if you don't have the personnel, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
So that's what I think it is. Yeah,
yeah.
Go ahead and exploit it. But by the fourth, fifth round, you're not, you know, you're going to see that he's not feeling anything that you got,
yep.
And you're feeling everything that he's throwing. It's going to be the body shots, man. That's why I worry.
Yeah, I really like that example. It reminds me, what this reminds me of, I believe it was Max Schmeling and Joe Lewis, when Max Schmeling kept telling people in the interviews, I see something, I think I see something. And he knocked Joe Lewis out because he saw that every time Joe Lewis threw his jab, he kind of left his head out to the right. And he
would
catch him with this big right, and that's what just kept hurting Lewis all night, and he eventually stopped him. Okay.
So well, it's kind of like the one that comes to mind is Bernard Hopkins versus Tito Trinidad. He dissected him.
Right.
And we never saw Tito look that bad.
But Mikey doesn't have the Max Schmeling power to knock out Errol Spence, Joe Lewis. Like, that's my point. Like, he thinks he sees something, and it kind of goes exactly with your running back reference. Yeah,
yeah.
I think you see something.
Tito went up in weight.
But it's not going to – I just don't think – my goodness, you're going to have to be perfect and on your toes for 12 rounds. You're going to have to box the greatest. I've said this before. I think I said this – Canelo in the first Triple G fight, going into that because no one knew what was going to happen. I think I said Canelo would have to box the most amazing fight we've almost ever seen on earth to win. And
yeah.
I'm going to say it again, and I've never meant it more in my life. Mikey has to be Ali, both sugars. He has to be everything and more all in one. And I just don't
know
if that's possible.
He has to be Sugar Ray versus Duran. Like, he has to fight the perfect fight to where Spencer gets frustrated.
Yeah, he's got to stick and move.
Yeah.
If he stands, if his feet plant at all, no good. He has to.
And that's what I don't see. I don't see Mikey being able to stay on his bike for 12 rounds. I just don't see it.
No, not with that monster walking you down. Not with that much of a difference.
Yeah, it's going to be bad.
It's going to be bad. But, you know, go Mikey. Sweet Science Class is definitely behind Mikey.
Good health and all that. And
yeah, we don't want the career to end. We'd love if somehow the Loma fight could still happen, but I just don't see the move down. And I don't know. Don't agree with it, But
this fight's gonna humble a lot of people because too many people think like, oh, it's just two weight classes. Oh, but they don't understand weight classes exist for a reason. So the bad thing is, if Mikey wins, now everybody's gonna think that, oh, this, you know, anybody can move up. No, that's just an anomaly right there. That's
a Manny Pacquiao type rarity. Yeah, that is the thing I do enjoy about this fight, exactly like you said. It needs to happen. It just needs to show some people, because weight classes exist for a reason. We say it constantly. And I'm glad you brought this up. I wanted to get to the walk. People say that Mikey Garcia walks around at 180. Okay, example I'm going to use here. Bud Crawford, before the Jeff Horn fight, at 147, took a picture on the scale at 177. And it said, Crawford needs to lose 30 pounds before his next fight. But when you look at Crawford, he still looks very much in shape. You almost can't tell that he's 30 pounds above his fight weight because he looks so good. Like how Floyd would always walk around at the same weight. Well, then you have people like Ricky Hatton, would always drink beer after every fight, gain weight, plump up. I don't consider that your walk around weight because you're not in shape. That is what I think about Mikey. Mikey, yes, people say, yeah, it's been confirmed he walks around at 180. I've seen videos of Mikey out of shape, you know, between fights, signing autographs. He gets a belly. That's not his walk-around weight. His walk-around weight in shape would probably be like more like 155, maybe 160, maybe, and I don't think so. That's the difference. Spence walks around at 170, 180, looking pretty in shape. He has to, like, compact his body into that frame to make 147. He'll make 154 soon. So just because both walk around near 180, you have to look at how they look when they walk around at 180. That is what I need to plead with people to understand. You can't say that Mikey walks around at 180. He's got a belly. That's not the same. It's not the same.
Yeah, because he's not really dehydrating to lose that weight.
Exactly.
These other guys have to dehydrate just to catch weight and do all that, but Mikey actually has to lose the extra pounds.
He has to lose like 20 pounds just to get into the shape.
Yeah.
And then he's got to cut another.
I see that. He walks around with a little belly, you know, looks like he's probably been drinking some Coronas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see that.
And then you've got some fighters who never leave being in shape, like Floyd. It seems like Bud Crawford's like that. Andre Berto always seemed to be like that.
Tim Bradley always seemed like that.
Then you've got people who, you know, and it's fine, you know, I don't know, whatever they want to do, but you can't say that's your walk around weight. Mikey's walk around weight, if he was looking in shape, I don't even know if he'd be 160.
Nah, I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. I'd say we're like 150 because he's not that tall.
No, he's not. I think for this fight, he'll weigh in 144-ish, and maybe the night of the fight, he'll be lucky to be 150 with all.
How tall is he? 5'6", 5'7"? How tall is he?
Probably 5'6", 5'7". Yeah.
5'6", 5'7". It's amazing to me because, I mean, I'm like the biggest Miguel Cotto fan. And he was always a lot shorter than these guys, but he didn't look that small when he fought these guys. I don't know. Crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I guess we need to move on before we beat this into a Mikey Garcia dead horse, because that's what's going
to... We're going to beat him like Spence is about to
beat it like Errol Spence is going to. But go, Mikey. We're behind you. We just don't understand it. But speaking of moving up in weight, Triple G is rumored to be strongly rumored to be going to DAZN, and the fight that is apparently on the radar and is seemingly going to happen is Triple G versus Callum Smith at 168 for Callum Smith's belt that he got by defeating George Groves, and that fight excites me greatly.
Yeah, we get to see Triple G versus a bigger fighter.
Oh yeah, he's gonna look pretty big. He's a tall, rangy guy, lanky. It's gonna be nice, man. Like, I don't know what to expect.
Triple G kind of the neighborhood bully in that division.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's gonna move up and fighting a guy who's like 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be different. That's going to be a whole different dynamic.
And knocked out George Groves. As a fan watching
Triple G being the smaller guy.
Will Triple G powers carry? It's going to be – I'm excited. Like, if that fight happens, that excites me a lot. And I don't think anybody can hate on this fight. I see people always hate on Triple G, you know, for never moving up, for doing this, for ducking that, staying in one weight class. You can think that, and I'm not even going to hate because it might even be true. No one in the world, I don't think you can hate this fight. He's moving up to fight a beast with a belt. If you really want to keep the Triple G Canelo discussion going, if you rate each of their move up to 168 fights, Triple G's is a lot tougher.
Oh, yeah. But I understand. I mean, as a business, though, I understand why Canelo would take that particular fight.
Oh, yeah. It makes total sense, and it's what you should probably do.
Man, that's a risk, man. I mean, Triple G's coming off a loss. It's like, if he loses this fight, where does his career go? I don't know.
It's risky, man, because if he loses, does he get Canelo 3?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, this is a risky fight. Do you really want to hurt that big payday, the potential big payday? Because he can fight a beatable opponent and look really good and get that title, get that Canelo shot again.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the motive behind this fight is. I mean, as a fan, hell yeah, I want to see this.
Maybe legacy, man. Advisor, maybe,
like, I'm like, why are we gonna do this? This is pointless.
Maybe it's legacy. Maybe the just not getting those Canelo wins. Maybe at this point he's like, you know what, whatever.
Well, you know what? I've been one to say that I like Triple G. I think he's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the greatest middleweights I've ever seen. But I can't put him as one of the greatest because he doesn't have that many. You know, he doesn't have the divisions. He doesn't. He's never really moved up to win other belts. So maybe this is, like you said, a legacy fight. Maybe he's just trying to add to the resume because he sees the end is coming near. So he's just trying to add to his resume, his legacy. I can see that.
Yeah, and I agree. He's not going to – for me, he's not, you know, one of the top, like, five for sure, like, greatest middleweights of all time. And it mainly is because of not moving up. But, you know, maybe this will change what I feel. This is – he didn't have a ton of big names. I wish he could have gotten, you know, the correct tip of the cap on at least one of the Canelo fights. But – and a lot of people always want to throw out that Marvin Hagler never moved up in weight. But I want to say in defense of that – that was before all the extra divisions.
That's what I was going to say. Middleweight was a lot. It was a bigger.
Would have been like a 15-pound jump, right?
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. It was a bit longer, a bigger range.
Yeah, and I really started thinking about that because all the other weight class jumps would have been, you know, 3, 4 to 7 pounds here and there.
Yeah.
And that is the big jump. I mean, I guess welter to middle's 13. And then middle to light heavy would have been 15. So, yeah, like, moving up was a little different back then. It's a little easier now when you got freaking junior and supers and here and there.
I can't put him up there either because I always felt like him and Andre Ward were on each other's radar. I always felt that they needed a fight. And the fact that he never fought an Andre Ward to move up, because I felt like he dominated the middleweight division for so long. Why didn't he move up? That was my thing.
He wanted to unify the belts. I think that was always his dream of middleweight. He wanted to be the unified middleweight champ.
Yeah. And he always said that. He stressed that a lot. He was really big on that.
And then but he vacated.
I don't know. When we're talking about legacy, what would look better, being the unified middleweight champion or going up in weight and beating Andre Ward? I don't know.
I agree. But maybe, I mean, he didn't get to unify, but maybe moving up and defeating Callum Smith will help him out a lot.
Yeah, I think so. And that's what, it's just a legacy move. He's going to fight Callum Smith, and it kind of, I don't know, call me crazy, but it kind of seems like they're going to make this Canelo Triple G a lot sooner than I think. I don't know.
If they both win against Fielding and Smith, I think it's very possible.
Cinco de Mayo?
That'd be nice. Just do it at 168, May 5th.
Cinco de Mayo, Mexican Independence. I could see September, making more sense.
Do it three fights, the same three dates, three years.
I could see that. I
year
could
apart,
see that.
Year apart, year. I want to.
Because I feel like with the Cinco de Mayo fight, they can throw a. Canelo can fight anybody on that day, and it'll. I mean, I know there's not pay per view anymore, but it'll get the numbers.
Oh yeah.
Because I mean, you saw him when he fought. I mean, come on, dude, Chavez Jr. That was like the worst fight I've seen in the last 5 years.
I'm gonna be honest. That's one of the few fights that I can honestly say I did not see. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to buy this pay-per-view, and I refuse to watch.
You know, Chavez was there for a check, man. That's all that was.
Yeah, I heard all I needed to hear. Everyone said that, you know, he was a heavy bag and just got beat up, and I was like, yep.
He didn't win one round. He didn't even throw any punches. He was there for a check. And I want to say he made like five, six million for that fight. Just to show up.
Speaking of him, I'm actually pretty excited to see him versus Alfredo Angulo.
Have him fight in a phone booth.
Dude, his style's pretty hideous, but I'm a big fan of Angulo.
Nah, that's what I'm saying. Put them in a phone booth. Just let them fight.
You know, I love Angulo. I hope he gets in Chavez's ass for real. I hope.
They just need to put him out, man. Somebody just needs to put him out. I thought Canelo did already. Damn.
The knockout may have done it. That's the thing, is Chavez is tough. Same with Sergio Martinez. He gets whooped, but he survives.
Yeah.
Someone needs to just put him out.
Put him out, and hopefully Angulo can do it. Because I'm tired of seeing him, man. I'm really tired of it.
Yeah, and I'm always rooting for Angulo. Underdog.
I thought he was supposed to fight... Gabriel Rosado, right? Before? Like, beginning of the year or end of last year or something?
Maybe. Gabe Rosado actually fights tomorrow. I was just about to get to the fight announcement.
Yeah, he fights tomorrow, but I remember they were talking about Chavez versus Rosado, which I think that would have been a pretty entertaining fight.
That would have been very fun. I think Rosado might have been the one to end it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Or... But the thing is, Rosado go in there, and he always looks like he got into a fight.
Yep.
I think that's why he's a fan favorite, man. He's like a people's champion.
He is. And with that, let's go ahead and again, we can wrap this up and announce all the fights. I was just going to announce, but we can kind of touch on them with you on tonight and tomorrow. And, yeah, the Gabe Rosado fight tomorrow. I'm pretty excited for that fight. Tonight, though... On ESPN, we have Maurice Hooker defending his belt against undefeated Alex Salcedo. That's going to be a really nice fight.
Mm-hmm.
You've also got another one on Showtime. Jaron Ennis versus Raymond Serrano. I'm going to be honest, I don't know much about these guys.
Yeah, no, I don't know much about them.
But
I'll watch it.
Friday night Showtime, so I think that's the point, you know, getting some up-and-comers, some shine. So I'm definitely going to watch that. What I'm going to do... And I suggest everybody out there do this too. Record the ESPN, record the Showtime, and here's the fight we got to watch tonight. Michael Dutchover is fighting tonight versus Dallas Prescott. I believe it's over in California. We had Michael on about a month and a half ago for a podcast interview on our very first episode, and he will fight tonight, I believe in his 12th pro fight. He's undefeated. It will be on thompsonboxing.com, but I believe it's actually on their Facebook. If you go to Facebook and type in Thompson Boxing, you go to theirs, and they're going to go Facebook Live when the fight starts. And, yeah, we're big supporters of Michael Dutchover and hope that he gets another knockout tonight.
Yeah, he gets his win, man, and he's starting to get into that picture.
He is. He will be in the... Who knows? Maybe the Lomachenko in the next year or two.
Hey, there you go, man. We're rooting for you.
We're really exciting, man. Yeah, we hope Mikey D wins. All the best. We're big fans of him. So that's going to be the one I'm watching tonight. I'll record the others, and I'm going to watch old Mikey D on Facebook. And then tomorrow there's a DAZN card. I'm going to start from the bottom, the undercards. Gabe Rosado, as we were just mentioning, versus Luis Arias. For anyone who does not know, Luis Arias is the guy that fought Danny Jacobs two fights ago for Danny. He was undefeated at the time. Danny won a decision. Luis is a pretty tough kid. I think him and Rosado will be fun. I don't know what to expect.
Yeah, it's a pick 'em fight. I don't know who's going to win, to be honest. I mean,
you would think. I think Luis Arias has slightly better skills.
Mm-hmm.
But you just never know. Sometimes those go out the window and it's a caveman fight.
Yeah, because Rosado's going to make it a fight.
Yep.
And we got to see how he responds.
I'm excited. That could easily be the fight of the night.
Yeah, it could.
And then you were talking about her the other day, Clarissa Shields is fighting Hannah Rankin.
Yeah, they had to throw her in there because I know Christina Hammer is going through like some illness or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and that was like supposed to be the big fight
that's
for women.
That's unfortunate. Yeah, I was really excited for that. Shields and Hammer. I like Hammer.
She got skills, man.
Yeah, that'll be a nice
skills.
One.
Then you got Clarissa Shields. She's a freaking brawler. So, you know, she's ripping these chicks' heads off.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would have been a good style matchup, man, because you got a boxer-puncher versus a power-puncher like Shields. That would have been a really good fight. That fight will eventually happen. It's eventually going to happen.
Yeah, surely.
They're just saying that she's taking a layoff because of, I want to say it's like a stomach illness or something like that.
Really?
Yeah. And I guess it's causing her, you know, I guess if you have a stomach illness or something like, you know, it messes with your weight, messes with your strength and conditioning.
Yeah, you don't want to train if your stomach hurts.
Yeah, yeah. So there's no way. She's smart for not taking that fight right
now.
You want to be at 100% with this fight.
So, surely Clarissa Shields beats Hannah Rankin, no problem, but you never know. Brandon Rios. I believe this is his first fight back since getting knocked out by Danny Garcia.
Oh, man.
He's back.
I like Bam Bam. I like Bam Bam.
I do, too. I just hope it's not taking it too far sometimes.
Yeah, it's just I'm tired of him entertaining us and... but him getting punished the way he is, man.
It's like Provodnikov.
I don't like seeing fighters like that.
And see, Provodnikov still gets offers to fight, but he said no. Like, he knew, I got to stop.
Yeah.
Brandon just keeps going. He's fighting Raymond Alvarez. It's probably going to be a slugfest.
Yeah, if it's a Rios fight, yeah.
So, I don't know. We just wish all the best to Brandon. My goodness, that dude can take some whoopings. And the main event, I feel like we just spoke about him. His fight with Tomas Adamek was not that long ago. We're watching Jarrell Big Baby Miller again versus Bogdan Danu, if I'm pronouncing that right. I don't know anything about
him. Big Baby Miller just fought, didn't he? I mean,
the Tomas Adamek fight was like 5-6 weeks ago. We just talked about that, I think, on the first or second episode.
That's crazy how he just fought, but yeah, we got fighters fighting once a year. My God.
I like it because that Tomas Adamek fight was kind of a joke.
Yeah.
He get him out like in the third or fourth? That was quick and easy. I don't know if he took one punch, honestly.
No, and he has to stay active too because he's trying to stay in that picture. You know, he wants that big fight.
Yeah, and he needs to stay in shape. He needs to stay fighting and stay in shape when him being over 300 pounds.
Yeah.
That is crazy, but he's making it work so far. But yeah, he needs to stay hot, stay knocking people out if he wants to be in the mix.
Yeah, so I mean, he has to stay active to keep his name out there.
Yeah.
So what, after this Fury Wilder fight or Anthony Joshua, you know, he wants one of those big fights right there.
Hopefully this
can get him. He's been calling those guys out, too.
Hopefully you can get like a Dillian White, Joseph Parker type fight, something like that.
Yeah. I can see that.
Or what about Usyk?
Oh, hey. There you go.
Man.
But I don't know if Miller takes that. I don't know.
I don't know if Usyk takes that. That's a 100-pound weight difference.
Yeah. But he's
not right
so
out
much
the gate, at least.
He's so much more skilled.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, he might just walk around him all night. Miller doesn't seem to have a tremendous amount of power, shockingly, for being 300 pounds.
That's kind of weird, huh?
Yeah, and he's not one-punch knocking out anybody.
No, that's what I mean. That's kind of weird. Like, you would think that would be his only strength,
yeah,
but it's not even one of his strengths.
You would think with 320 behind your hand, you would drop anybody, but...
That goes to show. I always feel like a knockout punch is something you're born with.
Absolutely. Julian Jackson, Deontay Wilder. Yeah. Some people just have that eraser, like they call it.
Yeah, because I remember clearly, this is what comes to my mind when I think about what my statement I just said. Timothy Bradley. After every Timothy Bradley win or loss, he'd always talk about, oh, I'm in training camp. I'm training on my power. I'm training on this. And Timothy Bradley looks like he can knock dudes out.
Mm-hmm.
But no knockouts. I mean, he had a low knockout ratio.
Very
low. And great boxer. You know, one of my favorites to watch all time is Timothy Bradley. But he just didn't have that knockout punch. And he always talked about in training camp, oh, I'm trying to build it up on my strength. Building up on my knockout punch. And it's like, dude, I don't care how much weight you lift. I don't care what you do. You don't develop a knockout punch. You either have it or you don't.
That's a great example because I do remember those interviews. And I would always just wonder, like, man, why does Bradley not knock these people out? He looks so chiseled, but some people just don't have it. And then you got people like Andy Lee.
Look at his shoulder muscles.
Remember Andy Lee that just retired?
Yeah.
He would always, I mean, he was never out of shape, but he never had like a six pack. He kind of just looked like a normal dude in the ring, and he could be losing every round and be in trouble, and then boom, one shot would break you. You're done. You're cold before you hit the ground. Some people just have it. I don't know what it is. I wish I had.
There's a lot of, I wasn't born with it. I can think of that are like skinny fighters. I mean, Wilder's one of them. For that weight class, he's a really slim fighter.
It is usually the taller, lankier guys. Tommy Hearns, Julian Jackson, Deontay Wilder.
Tito Trinidad. That's another one. You know, where slim guy, but one-punch knockout power.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of some others. It's really
tough. There's quite a bit. There's quite a bit.
Foreman, but, I mean, he's a monster.
No, well, Foreman looked the part, though.
Yeah, he did.
Foreman looked like he looked like he can knock somebody out.
I mean, Pacquiao had it. Pacquiao had that one hit quit.
Yeah, Pacquiao had it.
And then some people didn't. Like Floyd, even when Floyd was a bully, he still never had the one punch. Floyd Mayweather.
Oh, yeah.
Even when he was, like, hurting dudes back as pretty boy, and he was really putting, you know, whoopings on these people, it was accumulative.
Uh-huh. So those accurate, very accurate punches.
Yeah. So it is weird. Some people have it, some people don't. It's really not something you can get, and it's really not something that can be explained.
Nah, I'm telling you, you'll see a guy throw a punch like he's, you know, a relief pitcher in baseball and catch him and not drop him. And then you see guys like Foreman, for example, didn't even look like he punched hard. And
the Michael Moore shot.
Yeah. It looked like he just touched him.
It's just a little baby straight. He didn't even do. I watched it again the other day at a weird angle, and he didn't even. It's the weirdest punch I've almost ever seen thrown in boxing because it's not even like a. His arm was like half extended before he even started. He just almost like pushed his elbow out. It was such a weird shot, and it just, he was out.
Yeah, that's more of a phantom punch than Ali's.
Oh man, we better not go down that road.
We better
wrap it because I think the mob was behind the phantom punch.
I've read a lot.
Yeah, that actually be a really cool topic to talk about next week.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah,
we gotta get Sergio on that. Article on that.
We'll get him on the Sunny List and the mob behind him. It's a crazy story if y'all don't know.
Yeah.
And yeah, like we said earlier, Sergio couldn't make the show today. He got caught up at work, but that's fine. We just wanted to put something up since it's been like two and a half weeks. We just had crazy schedules. Three of us are in different time zones, so sometimes it just gets rough. But starting next week, like I said, two episodes a week, hour or less. Going to give you a story time on one with some discussions, give you a roundtable debate with some discussions on the next one. Keep it fresh, keep it different. And yeah, we're going to wrap it up for today. So thank you for being on with me, Felix.
All right.
I'll hit
you up later
today.
Enjoy the fights this weekend, man. We'll talk about it on Monday.
Oh, yeah, you too, man. And all y'all out there, go definitely support Michael Dutch over. We got a We got to keep him undefeated. We want to see him on the big stage. So thank you for listening, and have a good fight weekend.
And that's it for this episode. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and I really hope you enjoyed it. As always, I thank Sergio and Felix for being a part of the Sweet Science Class team. And until next time, remember to keep the science sweet.